This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Hey, Coach Billy Donner. It's hour number two of the Diehards. Thank you so much for tuning in. Happy 24th birthday to Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones, Giants QB, 24.
Jonesy?
Antonio Freeman, former Packers receivers, 49.
AF,
happy birthday. And two big league Hall of Famers, the Big Hurt, Frank Thomas.
Yeah, Frankie, you listening, sup?
And Jeff Bagwell, both 53 years old today.
From Connecticut, of course.
That trade still killed me with Lou Gorman trading Josh Bagwell to
Larry
Jeff Bagwell.
Larry Anderson for ball three.
They wouldn't have won the pennant without Larry Anderson.
I understand
and he was
that.
Backed up at third base behind, who was
Scott
it?
Scott Cooper.
There you go, who made the All-Star team.
Tim Nearing.
For the following year and then did nothing the rest of his career. I don't know. It still haunts me as a Red Sox fan getting rid of Jeff Bagwell.
I thought they should have moved Phil Plantier for him at the time, but they ended up getting
who was also an All-Star, wasn't he, one
year? But
then
they ended up getting Jose Melendez for him in 92, so it worked out.
Yeah, see. Good day. Now, how would they compare? How would they do with the Islanders, do you think?
Oh, they couldn't. The Islanders are way too heavy in front of the net.
You think they're big?
Way too heavy.
Physical,
heavy
right?
Net, yeah.
Are they a physical team?
You guys don't want to listen to me. If they don't run pucks to the net and get bodies in front, it's going to be a long series.
Take the eyes away from the goalie?
Yeah. Charlie Coyle's going to have to play well.
I'll tell you in a series.
How much studying did you do for this hockey segment tonight?
I'm locked in. I'm all about show prep, even at work. Don't tell my boss that. We had a fire drill today at school, and the fire alarm wouldn't shut off on the history hall. So
you
I
just
brought
did
my
show
kids
prep?
No, we did an outside class today.
Yep. All right.
There you go. I'll tell you one thing.
Who's the pain in the butt in class? What's his name?
I don't have one.
You got to have one.
I love all
you got to have one, though.
Every kid who's a pain in the butt is a reason he's a pain in the butt as a teenager, or she.
Yep. Who's the Vinny in the class?
Vinny. See, when Vinny's a pain in the butt to his teacher someday, his reason is going to be your colleague.
You plant corn, you get corn.
All right, let's break. Pay some bills. No, Linehan, we're not paying your bills.
Neither am I.
Don't pay your bills.
Bet the bills. Not that time of year yet, son.
NBA expert.
Don't pay your bills. Bet the Islanders.
Ian Thompson joins the Diehards next. Keep it right here. Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
And Coach Billy Donovan, a runner rock and roll control in Houston. Birthday boy, Andrew Carlson. Yeah. We're doing shots in between each break here. So
he's going to go out and find himself some friends.
New friends.
Somebody he doesn't know before.
Yeah, some new friends.
Let's go to the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive, make it
drop
easy.
Drop Pepe's Dan.
To bundle your home.
You get them all free sausages.
And car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. NBA expert, author of The Soul of Basketball, and apparently
new Atlanta Hawk expert.
A new job. Ian Thompson's online. Yep. Welcome back to the Diehards. Ian, how are you, pal?
Hey, there's no sausage guy. Where's the sausage guy?
we let the sausage guy read stay away. We were trying to get away from that.
Pepe's got a food truck, but he likes to call it that, but it's actually nothing but sausages.
You got
your sweet sausages, your sour sausages,
your hot sausages,
your big long sausages,
company.
Your little tiny sausages. Do you have links and patties?
How you doing, Ian?
I'm doing great. I want to hear more about sausages.
That's my boy.
I want to hear about these Atlanta Hawks and this new gig you have. So please talk about Tree Rollins, Spud Webb, Dominique Wilkins, and Doc Rivers. How are they doing? How's the team?
Don't forget Craig Elo.
Tree Bites Man. Remember that?
Yeah I do.
Yeah, so is Danny Ainge. So I ended up writing about the Atlanta Hawks, and it was a lot of fun. They turned out they're in the playoffs this year.
They are. How
did you have to look that up, or did you know that before you started writing?
Well, I mean, I did a lot of research, and I figured out what the story was. Hey, they're in the playoffs.
There you go. There's the story. And seriously, you know, Trey Young, how good is this kid, and what's the ceiling for him?
You know what? I really am surprised. I mean, I thought he could be a good player, but the guy in his first playoff game goes into Madison Square Garden.
Oh, it's awesome.
And really looked like he'd been in the playoffs for 5 straight years or something. I mean, he just had real command of the game, the setting, the team. He was the best player out there. He was the one that didn't feel any pressure and just played with a lot of joy and making big shots and a lot of confidence.
Hit the game winner and shushed the crowd.
Yeah. And those runners are not easy to do. I mean, those are Steve Nash. That's a Steve Nash kind of shot, you know. It's just really, you know, I go back to the whole Luka Doncic thing. I mean, when they traded, when the Hawks traded the rights to Luka Doncic for Trae Young, I didn't think it was a good move. But now you see that it makes sense. I mean, the league, I'm not saying that he's going to be better than Luka Doncic, although he might be, who knows. You know, that's going to be measured in terms of championships, really, because those two guys are so good. That's what they're going to be thinking about getting, ultimately. But when you look at how the NBA is trending, with the skills and the agility and the quickness and the perimeter play, you know, both of those guys are point guards. They have totally different styles, but they're both driving their teams to do much better than anybody would have thought. So it's going to be like one of those drafts, like when the NFL has a bunch of quarterbacks. I mean, you have these two point guards coming in, and people are going to be comparing them for their whole careers to see who has a better career.
And you're just talking about two young point guards on the rise. Let's talk about an older point guard. How important is a deep playoff run to Chris Paul's legacy?
And Coach, he's just not getting any breaks. The guy gets hurt every time he has a chance.
Every series. And now he's going against Scott Foster tonight.
You're like my son. My son just talks about the referees nonstop, and it really gets boring. Not you, Coach, but...
Whoa!
Yeah, about time. Tell him, Ian. Look what Ian just told you.
I mean, poor Chris Paul. He goes to Phoenix. They've been waiting years and years for a chance. He gets them in this position, and who they draw? The Lakers. I mean, it's the worst draw in my lifetime for a top seed like that. I don't remember a team as powerful with as many hopes as the Lakers being that low of a seed in the playoffs. And that's what makes the playoffs so interesting this year. It's such a messed up year that you are seeing that. You're seeing, you know, the Lakers with a chance to come out of nowhere, out of a play-in game with a chance to win the championship, which just doesn't happen in the NBA. That's Chris Paul's luck. That's the way it's always been. He deserves some of the blame. I mean, he had a couple Clipper teams that really underperformed the playoffs, and he was the leader, and he let that happen. And I mean, he's had his own share of screw-ups in the playoffs, but the guy's missed out on a lot of chances because of injuries, especially that 1 year with the Rockets when he hurt his hamstring, and they really looked like they were going to win it and get to the finals. And I don't know. I just don't think it's destined to happen for the guy.
Let's stick with my new favorite team, the Hawks. And
Michael.
How much of an advantage is it going to be with it, for the Knicks having fans back in Madison Square Garden, and what do you see the series dragging out?
You know, here's the part I don't get. Like, everybody's talking about the great fans in New York, you know.
I don't think great fans, just a lot of fans. Yeah.
No, but they are great fans. They know their basketball, but they're giving them all this credit. I mean, what was the chant that they were saying to Trae Young? We can't say it on the radio. But it wasn't exactly the most clever thing you ever heard, right?
They're getting
all this credit.
Yep.
They're getting all this credit for it. They definitely benefited from it in the second half of Game 2, and it definitely hurt them in Game 1. They have no playoff experience as a team. Their best player has never been the leader of a playoff team before. They just were overwhelmed by the moment, which made what Trae Young did in Game 1 all the more spectacular. In the second half of Game 2, the Hawks kind of let go of the rope a little bit, and the Knicks, they rode the fans like a wave. It carried them And now it's a series, and we'll see if Atlanta can get some support at home for their games. It could have been a short series if Atlanta won the second game. Now it looks like it's going to be 6 or 7, and it could very well be the best series that we'll see in the first round.
Can Atlanta hold home court and win both games?
Yeah, they can. You know, the way Trae Young's playing, they definitely can. And look, they lost this game the other night with John Collins not scoring any points. And I don't think we'll see that happen in the next game, especially at home. The Knicks really have to win one of these two. Like, they can, but can they force the action? Can they get Julius Randle playing the way he did in the third quarter of game two? That's going to be the key. They have not been playing to their tempo. They've not been able to force Atlanta to play the Knicks' tempo. And the Knicks have to do that. They have to establish themselves. And it's hard for them to do because they're really not that great of a defensive team, to be honest. And Atlanta, when Atlanta's had it going, they've had way too many weapons for the Knicks.
Quote by and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. Hanging out with the diehards here on the Progressive Guest Line Sports Map Radio Network. NBA expert, author of The Soul of Basketball. He covers the human highlight film, Dominique Wilkins. Ian Thompson's on the line. Hey, Ian, it's game three tonight. Nuggets, Blazers, series tied at 1. Who do you like in the series?
I like Portland because of Damian Lillard. You know, and it really hurts Denver not having Jamal Murray there.
Sure.
It's a really interesting series because Portland knocked Denver out of the playoffs 1 year, and I'm sure it means a lot to Denver to try to get revenge and show that they're going to fight back. But having Damian Lillard on your team, if there's one guy that can really surprise you in the playoffs this year, it's going to be him. There's one team that can just kind of come out of nowhere and get to the conference finals or even make a run at the Lakers. I think it's Portland just because of Damian Lillard and the spirit that he creates in this team. There's never been any doubt about Damian Lillard staying in Portland. Giannis gave that to Milwaukee by re-signing with them, but there was some doubt about Giannis re-signing with Milwaukee before he did it. There's never been that doubt with Damian Lillard. He's always been committed to staying with a small market team. And he just gets better every year. He's more reliable every year. He makes more spectacular shots every year. At the end of a game, he and LeBron are the guys you want to see, besides the three guys in Brooklyn, obviously, who are just amazing as a trio. I'm just saying Damian Lillard is the guy to watch, and I think they're going to beat Denver.
Ian, talking about Brooklyn, anybody going to stop them in the East? And have you ever seen people enthusiastic about two home playoff games with your Boston Celtics?
Yeah. Well, first of all, there's nobody stopping Brooklyn in the East. If those three guys are healthy, and I don't know, even though if LeBron and the Lakers can stop them, that's going to be an amazing series if both teams are healthy and they both get there. Well, if both teams are healthy, they're definitely going to get there. The Celtics, Mark, I look at Miami the way Miami's spit the bit in these playoffs too. And these are both teams that had injuries and they dealt with COVID. And these were the two conference finals of last season. And they're both wicked underperforming this year. And they're both really disappointed in themselves. And I think it really shed some perspective on what's happened with the Celtics here this year to look and see that they're not the only team that suffered. I mean, some teams have done really well this year during COVID. Utah Jazz are one of them. Phoenix Suns are one. But then other teams, it's just destroyed them. And they're lesser because of it. And I think the Celtics have definite problems, and they have to make a deal. They have to change the chemistry of their team. They have to add some size. They have to hope for better luck with injuries. There's a lot they have to do, but they also have to take into account the fact that this is just a messed up year, and it affected them more than it affected other teams.
Hey, Ian, before we let you go, how can people find you writing the latest column on Spud Webb?
Swamp Scott.
Yeah, it's been on Hawks.com.
That's great.
It's a three-part series for me. Yeah, thanks. And, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun to do it, and we'll see what happens in the future.
Is it, true, course, that they is it true that they're having a very, 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 very good year?
Yeah. You missed. You left out three of the berries, but it was close.
Ian, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Ian. Appreciate it, pal.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
There he is again, Hawks.com. Check out Ian Thompson's latest three-part series story there. NBA expert, author of The Soul of Basketball, and friend of the show. Quick TO when we return. We'll go back to the Progressive guest line from 98.5, the Sports Hub. Gambling guru Joey Murray joins the Diehards next. Keep it right here, Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios East, hanging out with Mark Linehan, Coach Billy Donovan. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people. Dude, at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Dude forgot my name again.
Progressive guest line. Progressive, make it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. It's AC's birthday. Leave him alone. He's getting bundled in the studio.
All right, that's
leave
all
alone.
Right.
Really?
27. I'll give him that one. Yeah.
Let's go to the Progressive
really
guest line.
What he wants, right?
From 98.5, the Sports Hub, friend of the show, the gambling guru, Mr. Joey Murray's on the line. Joey, welcome back to the Die Hard. How are you, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you today?
Hey, man, does gambling have an off season, and how do you pace yourself all season? Because I don't know how to do it.
Honestly, dude, I just keep building that bankroll. But right now is the time to make money, especially in the NBA. It's so predictable. So predictable. The Lakers lose game one. You bet that always in a LeBron series. 3 out of 7, right? And then you want to bet the Lakers when they're plus money for the series. Now they're -350. Tonight, the Lakers are -6.5. I'm a little wary of the line, but the game should have went under. I think Chris Paul's hurt, not to mention the Scott Foster effect with the wrangle, the ref side. I like the under 211 tonight in the Lakers game.
Coach, you were going to ask about that. You have an issue with Foster, too, don't you?
Joey, yeah. What's Paul's record in his last, like, 15? Has he won one of the last 15 games Foster's refereed?
0-10, and going back, it's 0-12. The last 0-12. Chris Paul, Scott Foster games.
Yeah, I like the Lakers.
And again, CP3 was banged up in game number two. He didn't play a lot. His shoulder was hurt. Is he out tonight, or is he playing?
I think he's playing, but what happened was late in that game, LeBron had that step back, and then Anthony Davis woke up, and Caldwell Pope plays amazing defense on Devin Booker. They went 3 minutes down the stretch in that fourth quarter. Phoenix couldn't score. Now, Ayton's been very surprising in the series, but it's back to L.A. tonight, and I think it's trouble for the Suns.
Looking at the Boston series, which WWF 80s heel entrance is going to best compare to Kyrie's introduction tomorrow night, Joel?
I think it's the Ultimate Warrior, man. Just the drums, you know, the drums, the rope shaking. But, guys, I mean, I'm kind of out of the series now. Like, the only value for me is do the Nets win in 4 or 5. You know, it's -140 for a sweep. So there might be value in a Sunday night full crowd. Remember that, May 29th, full crowd. Maybe there's some value in that game 4. It's +185 if you think this series ends in 5 games. So if there's any value, you might want to dabble on that tonight. I personally think it's a sweep, but you may get that chance in a, hey, maybe they just slip up on a one-off. You know what I mean?
Joey, once the Celtics fans in not a full house, game 3, get the Kyrie stuff out of the way, could a full house on a game 4 getting swept be a disadvantage to the Celtics?
Well, I think no matter what, they want the season over with. It sounds like Kemba Walker could be hurt. That news came out today. The Marcus Smart thing kind of didn't really support the team, in my opinion. There's going to be a lot of emotions on tomorrow night. It's going to be weird. I would just try to stay away from it. The total's 227. I think we go over just because there's going to be no defense.
Early thoughts on the Bruins-Islanders series. It's going to be, a little bit tougher than people think around here. I think the number might be a little high on the Bruins.
So I disagree. I'm glad you feel that way.
Right now...
There's goaltender issues, right? Didn't that just happen in Washington? Same thing in this series. Varlamov was awesome this year. He went 5-1 with a 1.93 GAA. against the Boston this year. Sorokin went 0-1-1. But, dude, this is one of the bigger prospects in hockey in a long time, maybe since Tuukka Rask. Yep. And, again, he's been hot. He won four games. They have to make that decision. Varlamov might be the better option for them against Boston. So now they're going to have to make a decision. Do they want to go to the guy who's a Vezina Trophy-type guy or go to their future guy? So I think that's going to mess them up. But J.P. Pageau has owned the Bruins, and he's somebody that truly scares me in the series.
Yeah, I agree. I'm waiting a matter of time. I think they're going to give the Bruins a little bit of difficulty the way they play neutral zone, the way they play defense. Obviously, big, strong defenseman. I've just started even talking. I'm waiting for maybe your afternoon show to have some problems with the Bruins' first line if they lose a game 2-1.
Well, listen, I'm going Bruins in five. The odds are +375. So yeah, I'm a little – I actually like the Bruins a little bit more than everybody else. I'm looking ahead here. Toronto wins, right? They're in. And at some point, like, I think they could beat a Toronto. I just think they can get there. Obviously, they can't look ahead, but I'm going Bruins in five +375.
Going back to the Celtics series, you know, you're saying there's not a lot of value in the games. Any player props in upcoming game three and game four we could look and make a little money with?
Old Kyrie Irving, right? What points? I'd probably take a look at that. I don't have it in front of me. I'll see if I can have it before the call in. That might be something to take a look at. But as far as player props for me goes, like, you know, what's the real interest here with the Celtics? There's nothing. Like, Tatum got poked in the eye or something happened. Like, there's just no value. To me, it's either go with Brooklyn and everything or nothing for the Celtics.
So, Joey, taking a look, you mentioned earlier, like the under in the Lakers game, it was 210.5 in game number two. They actually hit on 211. It's funny how that works. You like it again under. You mentioned that you like the Lakers, but 6.5, 6.5 seems like a lot of points, no?
Well, here's the deal, right? We just did our podcast tonight. You can check it out over under 985. But we just did it tonight. We feel like some of these high lines tonight, they're that for a reason. So, for example, if you look at Portland, they're at home. The series is 1-1. At a 3 or a 4, it might be worth taking Portland. Normally, it should be a little bit tighter. My only issue is in this Lakers game, I think if Chris Paul can't play, they can't score. Not to mention LeBron and AD at home. I'd probably go Lakers. I feel better about the under. And just so you know, that over hit in the last game because of two Devin Booker fouls behind the line for 6 free throws. So just keep that one in mind.
So how important to you, how much do you want in a line moves, and what does it take to really get your attention as far as points in a, like, not necessarily an over-under, but in the game itself?
Well, tonight, for example, right, yeah. Opened at 212.5. It's now 211.5. That's a full point. That means the money's coming in on the under. So it might scare somebody at 211.5 to take it. Do you buy the hook? What do you do? But sometimes crazy live movement, I stay away. There was a Celtics game this year where they were +8 and all of a sudden were -1 before the game. That was that crazy San Antonio game, if you remember, that went into overtime. They won. They didn't cover. So the more I look at it, sometimes this crazy line movement you stay away from. But, guys, the NBA is tricky, but it's predictable. Take the Lakers. Take the Nets to meet in the finals. There's so many different odds to do it, but right now you can still get it at plus money. I probably said this to you guys the last time I talked to you. Lakers, Nets, nothing else.
Joey, before we let you go, how can people find the podcast again?
So you can go on 985thesportsup.com. It's posted all over all those apps that are out there. But we just recorded tonight, and we got some picks coming up for tomorrow as well. And should be a doozy. And I think your boxing match, the Manny Pacquiao stuff, is going to mess up my WrestleMania, our SummerSlam plans. It might be on the same night. Imagine that, SummerSlam, then the Pacquiao fight on Saturday night in August.
He's one of my favorite fighters I've ever covered, Manny Pacquiao. A lot of fun, man. Hey, keep up the good work. We'll talk to you later on down the line.
Thanks, Joey.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Thank you.
There he is, Joey Murray from 98.5 The Sports Hub. Again, go on 98.5thesportshub.com and check out Joey Murray's
podcast. I want to ask him next time what's the worst week he's ever had and the best week he's ever had.
How about you? Can I ask you that question?
Well, this week I'm with you, so this week sucks. Last week I wasn't with you, and it was a good one.
Thank you.
Sausage is here.
Vice President of Ballpark Operations at Fenway Park, friend of the show, Pete Nesbitt, is on the Progressive Guest Line next. You don't want to miss it. Keep it right here.
You're listening to The Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
And Coach Billy Donovan, my friends.
Said my name again.
Friends are also from Mamitas. It's a hard seltzer, real tequila. Sparkling water and natural flavors.
Agua bueno.
Mucho bueno.
It's only 95 calories with a 5% ABV. Flavors include lime, mango, paloma, and pineapple.
Paloma.
Mamitas keeps a light and refreshing taste while staying authentic to the iconic tequila cocktails that inspired bartenders for decades.
How about my new breakfast, tequila?
Ask for them today, your local retailer or favorite watering hole. For more information, check them out at drinkmamitas.com. That's drinkmamitas.com. Or follow on Twitter and Instagram at drinkmamitas, hashtag mucho. Delicious.
Delicioso, it should be.
Let's go to the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive.
Mi amigo, Pete. Está aquí.
Bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com. Today, Vice President of Ballpark Operations, not Baseball Operations.
Took away his promotion.
Ballpark Operations for the Red Sox, Pete Nesbitt. Pete, welcome back to the Diehards. So you're not handling the players, right?
Only when they win.
Yeah, exactly. Only the good ones.
Hey, Pete, did you ever think this day would come where it's getting back to normal and you get a full house?
I did. It's been a long time coming, but, yeah, it's great coming up on Saturday. We're excited about it.
Hey, man, what's your biggest challenge still and your biggest hurdle, you know, overcome, you know, all this stuff that you've had to deal with? Is there still a lot going on trying to get Saturday ready to go?
Making room behind the stands.
I mean, the biggest challenge is just flipping the venue. You know, Friday night we're still in the limited capacity mode.
Yep.
So we got a 25% crowd, you know, still requiring masks and distancing. So that's, you know, Friday night at 7 o'clock and then Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, you know, no holds barred. We're bringing a full house. So just flipping the venue over. You know, we're changing out a lot of the signage, a lot of the plexiglass that's been installed everywhere. Spent a lot of the day today cutting all the zip ties from the seats. So, you know, it's mostly just facility prep stuff, trying to get, you know, enough staff back in the building to handle the full house.
Do you need any help? Because I hear Linehan's looking for work.
I've been looking for work for 30 years. He told me to screw since I was 12.
There is always a job for Linehan.
I was disappointed. I was going to ask about cutting the zip ties, but you just stole that one right out from underneath.
You'd be a good zip tie cutter.
Oh, I absolutely would be. That's what got me out of jail 3 times.
Hey, Pete, talk about just a little
thing. I don't know if the back would hold up there.
Yeah, you got a good point. Tickets and stuff like that as far as just, you know, contacting people and getting the tickets sold and season ticket holders, how much of a pain was that? And how has that worked out? Are people going to be there?
Yeah, it's a long process. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people look at the ticket process and say, you know, how hard is it to sell Red Sox tickets every year? You know, you just kind of turn them on and they go. But you know, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work that goes into that. You know, they call it course management. You know, typically we go on sale in December and we have a season ticket holder base of about 15,000 tickets. And, you know, so for these two games this weekend, you know, our season ticket holders, you know, weren't obligated to purchase those tickets. So we're starting, you know, basically at zero, trying to get to 37,000 in a 10-day span. So that's going to be really tough. You know, we're expecting about, you know, 25,000-26,000 for this weekend, and then next homestand starting June 8th, you know, we'll start creeping up closer and closer to sellout territory.
Well, the weather hasn't been your friend. I was wondering if you just got home from last night's game, A, and B, how do you deal with rain on Saturday coming in with people finally coming in the game with having a full house?
Yeah, no, it's you know, I guess it's ironic. Just, you know, we have opening weekend here in the city, and Memorial Day weekend, you know, everybody should be out and about, and you know, just checking out the forecast, and you know, 52 and raining is not ideal for anybody. So we typically find a way. We found a way last night to squeeze that in and get a win. So we'll have all hands on deck on the rain trust trying to figure it out this weekend.
Pete, other than the weather, any other potential landmines looking ahead for the reopen, and any protocols that you actually will still have to follow even with the reopen?
Yeah, I mean, we have some challenges. You know, the team protocols are still in place. They haven't changed from an MLB perspective. So, you know, anybody that works in and around the clubhouse areas, you know, they'll still be in masks, you know, still have to get tested a lot, you know, fill out the health survey every day when they come in. And then, you know, they had expanded it in some areas of our concourse. So, you know, just trying to balance, you know, giving the team what they need, but also providing space, you know, for the fans and concession activity. So we're a little bit challenged, you know, space is never our friend at Fenway Park, but, yeah, I think we're going to make it work, but those are some of the challenges, some of the things that the players have gotten used to, you know, both last year and this year, you know, extra weight room space, an extra batting cage, and we've had to sort of pull that stuff back. So, yeah, trying to do the best we can with what we have, making some stuff that's available to them, some spaces that are available to them during the day, and then, you know, flipping it over in that 4 o'clock hour before we open the gates for the fans.
Weight room space has always been a problem in my house, too, Pete, so I can understand what you're going through. Let's talk about the other big news of the day. Today you announced, I know this has been your baby for a couple of years, finally get done, the Fenway Bowl. A little football action at Fenway, AACACC, easy for you to spell. Talk a little bit about that adventure you got going.
Yeah, that'll be great. Just announced today, December 29th. We were hoping to launch that in 2020, but, you know, I got pushed back with the pandemic, so... an 11 a.m. kick, so that's going to be an early start for you on the tailgating scene, Lenahan. But I know you've adjusted before. I'm sure you
I have.
Again.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm a professional.
So that'd be really cool. You know, we've done football a few times. You know, with the Shamrock Series and Harvard, Yale, and BC playing some games in there. UMass. So yeah, we're looking forward to having another round of football, and you know, we're trying to build in some other games around the bowl game. So you know. I would look for some high school football around Thanksgiving and, you know, potentially some local college football too. But it's I think we're in at least a 6-year deal to start. So wow. It'll be here to stay. So, you know, we're trying to build a lot of events around the bowl game, you know, leading up to it. It'll be, what did I say, the 29th. Yeah. So just a few days after Christmas. So, you know, things like a, you know, 5K race in the fall and.
I'm in.
You know, maybe some kids' camps over the summer, clinics, that kind of stuff.
Hey, Pete, so, talk a little bit about now, how does that work as far as sponsorship's concerned, as far as the team's getting paid? Is that an ESPN thing, or do you guys have to put up any money, or how does that whole bowl procedure work?
Yeah, it's a joint venture with us, with Fenway Sports Management and ESPN, so we're kind of co-producing the game. We don't have a title sponsor yet, so... if you know anybody that's looking, maybe a good cigar guy or a sausage guy.
How about a sausage guy?
What about any ticket brokers?
I think the diehard should sponsor it.
Yeah. Well, that means LeBron has to pay, right?
Yeah, anybody. We'll take anybody. So, you know, we got a few things in the works, but, you know, I think at some point over the summer
awesome.
We'll have that sponsor.
That's pretty cool, Pete. I know that's been a baby of yours for years. I'm really happy for you. Nice job.
Congrats, Pete. And that's awesome. Fun stuff. I'm watching a football game at Fenway Park. I was at the Notre Dame last one. Notre Dame, BC. It was awesome to watch a football game at Fenway Park. Hey, Pete, any truth to the rumor that we know beer ends after the seventh inning? You guys are going to extend the beer starting when you open up because you need to get that revenue back?
I wish. You know, pretty strict with the rules there, and
gotcha.
Plus, you know, some of the staff has to make tracks out of there pretty quickly. So, we'll be, you know, normal rules. You know, a lot of actually this weekend you'll see all exclusively canned beer, which we've been doing this season to start. So we're gonna stay with that just from an inventory management perspective, and then you know probably introduce the draft beers coming into the next homestand. So. We're definitely going to have all the taps open and flowing, so we're doing our best to claw back some of that revenue we've lost over the last couple months and, awesome. And all of last year, obviously.
Oh, the herd will be happy. Pete, the Fenway Bowl is a great announcement. Fenway is going to be reopened for baseball full capacity. What other special events can now get booked, such as concerts or any other events to take advantage of Fenway Park?
Hurling?
Yeah, I haven't heard much about hurling coming back, but yeah, we're definitely planning to have some concerts this summer. That first week of August, we're going to have a series of shows. Billy Joel will be in, Guns N' Roses, Zach Brown, New Kids on the Block, a Linehan favorite. And
I was the eighth New Kid on the Block back in the day. I got caught.
I was going to say, I think you were one of the originals.
Thank you. One of the few people that understand me, Pete. I agree.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go back.
And then we booked the Jonas Brothers for October 1st. Yeah. So
get I don't know what I'm doing October 1st.
How many Fenway
Franks? Jonas Sisters.
How many Fenway Franks do you have to feed Axl Rose to do that show?
Yeah, he's like I said, we'll take whoever we can get at this point. We're actually the concert business is really robust at this point. There's a ton of pent up demand, so we're still chasing shows. We're hoping to add some for September, also in that October 1st window, so we could have upwards of 8 or 9 shows in the second half of this year. So we're excited about that.
Pete, let's get back to the bowl game. Give me the ideal matchup for you in that situation, besides Navy BC.
I was going to say you sent me a good one earlier. Navy BC, we can't do much better than that. I mean, it would beat Houston against NC State for sure. We take that. I know some of the UCF has been good over the last few years. I think we have maybe the third or fourth place team in the AAC, along with the fifth or sixth place in the ACC. So, depending on the year, those matchups can change. But yeah, NC State, Virginia, Duke, BC, they're all in the mix, I think, traditionally.
When negotiating a bowl like that, how did you go about determining which leagues were available or which leagues are interested? How did you land those two conferences?
ESPN really led the charge. From that perspective, they have great relationships with all the conferences. They're, they control most of the bowl games. So they, they know, all the slots that are available. The leagues, they love the bowl games, obviously, from a revenue perspective. It locks them in, for money annually that they share with all their member institutions. So, again, ESPN really driving the bus there. And, we think some of the relatively local ties with the ACC will play well here in the Boston market.
Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new home quote, Explore, only at Progressive.com. Hanging out on the Progressive guest line with the Die Hard Sports Map Radio Network. Vice President of Ballpark Operations for the Boston Red Sox, Pete Nesbitt at Fenway Park. Hey, Pete, you mentioned the players are still going to be in the protocol and kind of, distancing themselves and all that good stuff. From a fan standpoint, the little kids out there, they're still going to be able to have access to the players and getting autographs? How's that going to work?
Yeah, the guys aren't supposed to sign autographs at all. So,
okay.
There's some creative ideas, that they talked about, like signing balls in advance and just coming out and throwing them to the kids so that they aren't passing balls and pens and stuff back and forth. So definitely want to try to make, continue those connections, but they won't just, they're trying to avoid the hand-to-hand contact.
Now, is Wally the Green Monster going to be present this weekend?
Wally is back in a big way. Yeah, just MLB has relaxed some of the on-field rules, so you'll see Wally shaking the tail feather out there pregame and during the seventh inning stretch.
Now we know
what's Wally been up to lately.
We know Wally can't get the COVID because if Wally's in that head, the helmet thing, we know he's immune to everything.
Absolutely. What's he been up to? Do you know?
Wally, he made a trip down to Florida in the springtime. He's been making the rounds here at the old ballpark, so.
Hey, Pete,
looking forward to getting the fans back in the building.
Pete, full attendance comes at a right time for you. Coming up next homestand with, obviously, it's a catch-22. You got some pretty good teams and a tough schedule with Houston and the Yankees coming in. I would assume you're anticipating sold-out crowds.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a little bit of a slow burn, like I was saying earlier. It's not selling 35,000 tickets a game for an entire homestand in the course of a couple weeks is really difficult. So.
Yeah.
Once we flip on, just this week we flipped on the tickets up through July 11th through this side of the All-Star break. So we definitely expect to see some sellouts. And we got a Dustin Pedroia retirement ceremony that we're looking to work in June. So I know that'll be a popular date on the calendar.
Hey, Pete, keep up the good work. We really appreciate it. We're looking forward to seeing Fenway packed house again.
Yeah, congrats on the bowl, Pete.
And congrats on the bowl, man.
Awesome. Great job.
Yeah, we're excited about it. We got to get you guys over this weekend, or maybe next homestand when the weather gets a little better.
Yeah, I go by weather. You know that.
I can get my whole family in now that we're back to full capacity.
I don't think he has 27 tickets.
I don't have to leave all the kids at home.
Thanks, Pete.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate it, Pete. Good job.
Again, there he is, Vice President of Ballpark Operations at Fenway Park.
And again, Pete's obviously a friend of mine, and you know, Billy or whatever he is, but this was a big deal. This is all – he's the one that helped get Notre Dame BC football. That was his –
the bowl game, December 29th.
That was his leadership, exactly.
Good
stuff. His project, and he was disappointed last year when they couldn't do it, obviously, but that'll be a lot of fun.
Take our final break of the show. We'll come back, tell you about our friends at
Ocken
Mortgage. And wrap up the show. We're the diehard Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
And Coach Billy Donovan, the show tonight presented by Rocket Mortgage, ready for a new home, Rocket Can. Okay, guys, 15 years ago, 2006 at Fenway Park, Curt Schilling became the 104th pitcher in Major League history to reach 200 wins. Yep. Did you guys ever run into Curt Schilling at the baseball tavern?
I don't think so, did we?
No.
He didn't really hang out then that much. He was kind of in his own world back then, too. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think the word different comes up a little bit.
What do you mean by different?
He's just a different kind of cat.
Different guy.
So what's up for Memorial Day weekend? What's the promotion again? What's the bit?
It's called Masks Off, Pants Off
Weekend.
That's right. Swing by Pepe's Sausage Hut.
I don't have a sausage hut.
That's still not the word. That's not the rumor we're starting.
Like the tiki bar, but with sausage.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Andrew Carlson running rock and roll control. And
happy birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday, buddy. Go out and celebrate. And
yeah, and you know what I'm saying, buddy, don't you?
Whatever advice Linehan gave you, do the opposite and you'll be fine.
Yeah, sup.
Throw strikes.
That's right.
We'll be back tomorrow night. Have a good night, everybody.
Congrats, Dad.